Hello and welcome back. This is the second shiur, the second class in Sefer HaChinuch. We will be discussing the 613 mitzvot and how they apply in our everyday life. If you go to the website http://www.teachittome.com and click there on the classes and then on Sefer HaChinuch, we are going to be doing the second class today, and you can find the materials there. Just give a click on it. So we now begin the Sefer HaChinuch, the fourth mitzvah, the fourth commandment that is in the Torah. The commandment of sanctifying the new moon, mitzvat kiddush hachodesh. Now, even though this is the fourth mitzvah that is detailed in the Torah itself, it is nevertheless the first mitzvah that is given to the Jewish people, and as such, must be in many ways their mission statement that's going to endure with them and be timeless. Time is the key factor here, as it is the Jewish people that determine the calendar. So while the mission statement itself may be timeless, it is time itself that forms the center of this mission statement that is the Jewish people. I have 3 points that I'm going to make over the course of the shiur that I feel together comprise the mission of the Jewish people as outlined by this mitzvah itself. So first of all, let's begin with the fact that science has struggled to understand the concept of the fourth dimension. This has been an ongoing discussion. You find numerous books, you find numerous television specials. I remember classes in school and so forth where various different ideas was represented. However, the Chachamim, the sages, they teach that there not only are 4 dimensions of space, which we're all familiar with, a point, a line, a square, a cube, meaning all together, everywhere we look, up, down, northwest, east, south, so forth, these are the 3 dimensions of space. Up, down, and all around. That's the way I like to say it, the 3 dimensions of space. The 4th dimension is time. The Chachamim teach about the 5th dimension, which is called soul. So let's talk about how we understand these things. How can we perceive these things in our life? The 3 dimensions, of course, we live and function within the confines of those 3 dimensions. And we are bound by a 4th dimension. We are bound by time. Time proceeds along a steady line, and we exist in space along that line. A 5th dimension can be understood in this fashion, as multiple things existing in the same place at the same time. That means to say that the concept of the soul existing at the same time as the body, and connected in fact with the body, and for that matter all the various realms that exist in the spiritual planes, all existing in the same place, the place of creation that God formed, all of it existing at the same time in the same place. This is the idea of the 5th dimension. Now, this is talked about in numerous places in the Sefer Bahir. It's discussed in the Sefer Yetzirah. It's discussed in the Zohar, and so forth and so on. Now, for those that were with us for the class on the Shari Kedusha, Rav Chaim Vital explained the idea that there is a certain hierarchy to things, meaning that there is a certain flow that comes to the universe, a certain flow that comes to the human, he himself and his body and all that is him. and it progresses down the levels. So therefore, if we are going to apply that same concept here, we can understand that the soul, meaning the level of soul, this fifth dimension, is the entrance of the flow, the light, that gives a kiyum, that gives a stable existence and a continued existence to the world, that comes forth first through the fifth dimension, then through the fourth, which is time, and finally enters into space, finally enters into the physicality of this world. So if you understand this general concept, that there is a progression from one stage to the next, you can understand that whomever controls time controls space. Meaning that changes in time change the actual world you live in. Now, we've already said that we're bound by time. But nevertheless, the Jewish people, through their courts, through their hachamim, through their sages, and in particular, the sages that are greatest in that generation, that in the times of the Beit HaMikdash had smicha, they had ordination of a very special and specific type that we hope to discuss later on, that they had the power to be able to draw godliness into the world and make a change in the actual fabric of the world itself on a regular basis. It is the Jewish people as a whole that connect the cycles of the universe with the seasons. We'll discuss this further as we go on. One thing that's interesting to note is that there has always been a struggle by the detractors of the Jewish people specifically to attack time, to try and change the history books. And I'll let you know that it's been successfully done over and over and over again in our history. I recall being in a secular class that was dealing with the history of Spain, and when the Inquisition was presented to the entire class, there was not a single mention of the fact that the Inquisition was a Holocaust for the Jewish people. I thought that that was amazing. The Inquisition, in its essence, was for one purpose, and that was to break the Jewish soul. Yet, nevertheless, there is no record that was found in this class. And I can go on with many, many examples that I've seen throughout my life where history has been the subject of attack in order to justify an existence here and now that is perverse and perverted, in order to allow one to do anything they wish now by justifying itself through changes in history. So let me make my first point then, in terms of this build-up towards the concept of sort of a mission statement of the Jewish people, is that the Jewish people, by virtue of this mitzvah, can be seen to be beyond time, and as such are its custodians. By observance of the holidays in their proper times, each and every one of those holidays connected with the history of the Jewish people, but not just connected as a loose element of something happening now in remembrance of the past, but an actual living embodiment of the past now, meaning a fluid connection of time. And in each one of these holidays, there is a transmission of Torah to the next generation. as we find as we sit around a table with all our family, Pesach, of course, being the most obvious of all, where we encourage and even needle our children to ask us, what is this? What is Pesach? Manishtana halayla zeh mikol halelot. What's the difference between this night and all other nights? And so bridge the gap of time with the transmission of Torah itself. So we maintain the continuous line of history as it connects to the higher dimension of the soul from the birth of the universe until today, by establishing our holidays through the establishment of the months and the establishment of the Ibur Shana, of the addition of an extra month, that in doing so we establish the constant flow, the hashpa of or, the flow of light to this world through the dimension of the soul, through time and into this world. Our tragedies and successes embodied in the holidays are the firm history of the world itself. All that which exists in this world is for the sake of the Torah. And as such, the observance of the Torah and the mitzvot are the cause of all that which is in the world. Our changes in the physical acts of the mitzvot have a true and actual manipulation of the world itself, as popularized in a number of places, stories and movies and whatever else have you. There's something called chaos theory, where scientists talk about the modeling of the universe and such, that the flapping of a butterfly's wings in Africa may in fact have an effect on weather here in, say, the United States. This is precisely the situation in the observance of the mitzvot. Although there's no may here and there's no theory, but actuality, that the observance of the mitzvot, or God forbid their violation, has effect in the entire universe. The Jewish people have been given the opportunity to be partners with God in the actual running of the universe. And as such, their heavenly work affects the very flow of light that sustains the universe, and if they stop praying, the angels stop singing. Meaning, even beyond the physical world, even within the spiritual realms itself, the Jewish people and their relationship to God is what causes a persistence of time and therefore existence. We find the mitzvot themselves, many of them revolve around time and history. Even the chinuch itself, this book, this holy work which we are learning, on every mitzvah states its place in time and space. So let us begin the actual text itself with this introduction. Sefer Shmot. Oh, the Sefer Shemot, the second book of the Torah, commonly known in English as Exodus. There were three mitzvot, which we previously learned, which comprise all of Sefer Bereishit, all of Genesis. Parshat ve'ele Shemot u'parshat va'ere en bahem mitzvah. So, by the first two parshiot, the first two sections of the Sefer Shemot, there are no mitzvot. Bo el paro, starting with the parsha of Bo, yesh ba tesha mitzvot aseh v'achad esreh mitzvot lataseh. There are 9 positive commandments and 11 negative. Tonight we'll only be discussing one of them. In the future nights, God willing, we will be putting together all the rest. The mitzvah, as we've already discussed, is the mitzvah Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of the month. So what is this mitzvah? Lekadesh Chodashim Ula'aver Shanim. It is to sanctify, meaning to start and set the beginning of each and every month throughout the year. 12 months, generally speaking, in the Hebrew year. The months going by the lunar calendar. With the exception of times where, in order to be able to establish the holidays in their proper times, we add an additional month. We double the month of Adar, and you have an Adar Rishon and an Adar Sheni. These two mitzvot together, and this following the Rambam Shita until midway, when we'll discuss for a moment the Ramban Shita, these two aspects together comprise the idea of setting the new month. Bebetin gadol v'chokhma samuch ba'aretz, it is done in the great court, the court which is greatest in wisdom, which is ordained in Eretz Yisrael, meaning to say that they received ordination, they received permission to be able to determine law in a manner that goes back all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu, all the way to Moses himself. And therefore, through setting the months and the years, they established the times when the holidays will take place. Sheneemar haChodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodashim. The pasuk which this entire mitzvah is based on, which is translated now first as in its simple meaning, this month will be for you the beginning of months. Klomar, that is to say, kshitiru chidusha shelavana, that when you see the new moon, when you see the renewal of the moon, and the word chidusha, the word renewal, new, is from the same root as chodesh, as month. Tikvu lachem, you shall establish for yourselves Rosh Chodesh, that should be the beginning of a month. O afilu lo tirua, even if you don't see it, mikvan shehi roya lerot al pi hachshbon mekubal, that it is again that it's going to be established according to the time when it should be seen in the heavens. Meaning when the first start of the crescent begins to be seen in the heavens. Therefore, we can understand a translation of that same pasuk, of that same verse which we've seen before, as this new moon is for you as the head of months. Meaning this chodesh, this month, which is defined by the moon, that for you then, meaning this definition, this establishment, becomes the beginning of the month. V'chen tiklal mitzvah zo mitzvat ibur hashana. So within this pasuk itself, within this mitzvah itself, is included the additional, or the again he's saying it's in the same mitzvah itself, but the additional idea of establishing an additional month in order to be able to sync up the seasons based on the solar calendar with the lunar calendar. Lefish yesod mitzvah kiddush hachodesh kidei sheyasu Yisrael moadei Hashem b'moadam. And this the basis of this of the entire mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, of establishing the new month, is in order that the Jewish people should perform the holidays in their proper time. K'mo ken mitzvah dibur hashanah mizeh yesodi. So the actual establishment of a year that is in line with the solar calendar is connected to this very same idea, in order so that the Jewish people should celebrate the Jewish holidays in their proper time. So the concept of time is taken as a whole by the Rambam. Namely, that it's a line that's connecting the fixed points, meaning points along those lines, which are the holidays. And as you have a single line, and that line needs to stretch based on the solar calendar in order to fit these points, which are the holidays. So since the holidays are there, they're milestones, and they correspond to the seasons, the adjustment of the month is just that. It's an adjustment for the seasons, and therefore it should all be part of the same command in the Rambam's logic. V'ulam milvad ze ha-mikra, ba'u ha'edot b'ktuvei ha-torah yoru al mitzvat ha-ibor. However, in addition to this specific pasuk, to this specific verse, we also find there are other instances within the Torah itself where we find the mitzvah, where we find the commandment of establishing, meaning an additional month when necessary. You shall keep this ordinance, namely Passover, in its time. You shall observe it in the spring. Meaning that it can only be observed in the spring if you sync up the solar cycles with the lunar cycles. And so this is the way the mitzvah works. This is the next section. First, the chinuch always describes the mitzvah itself, its source in the Torah, and its basic idea. In this particular mitzvah, in order to be able to clarify for us the actual matter itself, there was additional length taken by the chinuch in order to demonstrate to us a little bit about the actual logic of the mitzvah itself, meaning the underlying logic, which usually comes later on and is always introduced with the words Meshor Shem Mitzvah Zo. We'll see that soon from the Binyan Mitzvah Ken. So now we get the actual matter of the mitzvah, meaning certain details in terms of its practical application and so forth. So what happens? How does this take place? How do we accomplish the mitzvah of establishing the new month? So, Shabbaim Shnei Yisraelim Ksherim Lifnei HaBeidin. So two kosher Jews come before the Beidin. Kosher Jews meaning to say that they are fit according to all the laws of Edut, the laws of witness. Witnesses need to be upstanding in character in order to be able to bear witness. They need to, of course, be observant of the commandments. They need to be people who will have the proper character and the proper beliefs to be able to stand before a court and understand the awe that belongs there, the true fear of heaven, as heaven and the courts coming together for this very special mitzvah. So what did they do when they arrived there at their courts? Umedim lifnehem sharu alavana b'chidusha. So they state before the court, meaning they state their witness, that they saw the new moon, meaning they saw the moon in this particular shape and space within the heavens where it was found and so forth and so on, all the various details of what it is they've seen that indicates the beginning of the new month. The Kovaim Rosh Chodesh Alpihem, and they, mean the court, established the actual beginning of the month. She'orim Hayom Mikudash. And they do this through a pronouncement of the phrase, this day is sanctified. Those that have paid a little bit of attention to the Jewish calendar will notice that months can either be 29 days or 30 days. Meaning that there is a concept of a month extending, meaning being longer than usual, in order to accommodate also, again, the cycles of the year and so forth and so on, but is also based on this concept that it's possible that within this time period of 2 days, that at any time during that time period, it could be a time when the witnesses would show up. So at any point, that would become the day. So it's not set, meaning when we talk about the idea, it's not just a symbolic act of the Jewish court establishing the month. There are practical ramifications. A month could be longer or shorter based on the court itself. Now the reason that this mitzvah is only accomplished through a court and the sitting upon that court are those which have received this special ordination, this special permission to be able to judge cases that has been given from person to person, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, going back to Moses, which unfortunately in the various tragedies of our history has disappeared and is no longer amongst us, and God willing will be speedily returned with Mashiach Tzidkenu. The reason why they specifically need to be doing this, lefi shabah beferush ha-hodesh hazeh lachem, for you, gdolim usmuchim kmotechem, meaning all those that are like you, meaning that are great like you and that are ordained like you, meaning kilo Moshe v'Aaron emar. This statement was said to Moshe and Aaron, meaning like them, meaning that they are in the stature in the community as Moshe and Aaron had. It's interesting to note that judges are called Elohim. They are called by one of the names of God. One reason being is that the presence of God is found amongst them. The sanctifying of the month is through the introduction of God through the Jewish court, and in particular, the courts that heads over the Jewish people. Meaning, beyond the boundaries that we're bound to, meaning time, it draws also all the way from the flow of existence that stems from God's will for the universe. They have expounded on this matter. Mitzamachlo davru el kol adat bnei Israel. That the fact from the fact that the next pasuk that comes is davru el kol adat bnei Israel, that you shall speak this unto the entire congregation of the Jews, klomar, as if to say, shelehem lootan shekadshu achodesh, that it should be for them, that amongst them they should sanctify the month, rushut kol Yisrael, meaning it's in the power of the entire Jewish people, klomar, that means to say, hamim gdolim shebi Yisrael, meaning the great sages that are within the Jewish people, kigon Beit Din Hagadol, like the main Beit Din, the Sanhedrin. The sages of every generation, they are the representatives of the entire Jewish people. They're the leaders. Regardless of whether or not we want to recognize or not recognize them, whether or not we're religious or not religious, it is these great men that stand before God and plead for us, that stand there ready to lead. They stand there to teach us. And they're our connection to time, and as such, to the soul, namely God's will, the Torah. It's for that reason that they play this very special part. that they have achieved through Mesirat Nefesh, through giving themselves over totally to this purpose, to the purpose of the Mesorah, to the purpose of bringing from generation to generation the Torah, that everyone must seek them out and learn from them and attach themselves to them. You know, when a person goes out to act, when a person goes out to do, and he doesn't seek counsel with the sages, even with correct intentions, results can be tragic. History is replete with this. One example, the Mekoshesh Etzim, the one who collected wood outside the boundaries on Shabbat, after the commandment of the Shabbat was given to the Jewish people, this man intended on violating the Sabbath in order to demonstrate through his own sacrifice of his life, through his being killed by the Beitim, being put to death for his sin, he wanted to demonstrate to the Jewish people the very seriousness of Shabbat itself. Yet he caused harm on an irreparable scale. Seems so noble, seems so wonderful. A suicide mission for God. But suicide is not what God wants. And if he had turned to the Hachamim, if he had turned to the sages, he would understand that his acts, regardless of his kavanah, regardless of his holy and lofty intentions, would bring damage of an unbelievable scale. How so? It's a known fact that if the entire Jewish people were to keep the Shabbat, to keep it properly, we would all be redeemed. Mashiach would come. The moment we are all waiting for would happen. But as a result of this sin, that didn't occur. He blew it for the entire Jewish people and to this very day. This event, two Shabbatot, has not occurred. 2 days of complete observance. Seeking out the advice of the Chachamim is imperative. Seeking out our sages and their advice as to what we should do is something that we must all realize. Returning to God, to serve Him, doing tshuva, becoming a Baal tshuva, must include the attachment to the very tree of life, the Mesorah, the transferring of the Torah from generation to generation. And that is through the sages. It's interesting to note, on that same vein, that it was this mitzvah itself that was attacked by the Tzedukim. The Tzedukim were a group that did not believe in the oral Torah and therefore did not believe in the sages. And in their desire to bend the months in order to cause a fulfillment of an improper reading of the Torah as to when the Chag, when the holiday of Shavuot should fall, they would try to distort the beginnings of the month. That ultimately actually led to our keeping 2 days in Chutz La'aretz keeping 2 days of holiday outside of Israel. Because in the old days, meaning originally speaking, smoke signals would be used in order to relay information to the outskirts beyond Yerushalayim and beyond Israel as to when the month has been established. And by distorting the smoke signals, meaning by the tzedukim going ahead and purposely causing problems, that method was no longer a real means to be able to relay a reliable message. And therefore, on that basis, the outlying countries and so forth outside of Eretz Yisrael had to add an additional day. At least that's part of the reason as to why they needed to add an additional day to the holidays. So it's interesting that those that oppose the sages themselves, that wish to rip them from the tree of life, which is the Torah, that this is in fact where they look to tear. And here you can see how this is so fundamental to the very backbone of the Jewish people, this very first mitzvah to the Jewish people as a people and a whole. V'chein kol mi shehu chacham gadol b'Yisrael v'nismach be'aretz Yisrael. And so it is that anyone who is wise and great in the Jewish people, and he receives ordination in Eretz Yisrael, v'asmichut yedua echos inoto, and these people who are of this stature, they know how to perform the calculations, yesh lo reshut la'asod mitzvah zo afilu b'chutz la'aretz. This command can even be fulfilled outside of Eretz Yisrael, meaning it is possible to establish the new months even outside of Eretz Yisrael itself, if you have a great sage, and there is no other sage in actual Israel itself, therefore, even though he's out of Israel, he's capable of designating the beginnings of the month. We also find Shasub ken Chananya ben Achi, Rabbi Yoshua veKavya ben Yosef. So there are historic precedents to this actually happening in history. They were dealing with this matter. But without these Tanaim, meaning without being a great Haham, being a leader in the Jewish people, and having this smicha, having this special ordination, it is not possible for any Jew to establish the months or to establish the months within a year. So how then, the question comes up, can we today, in our sad state of being in Galut, being without the Beit HaMikdash, how is it then that we can establish, since we have no sages that have this ordination, how then do we establish the months in our day and time? So we have Rav Hillel, who was the son of Rav Yehuda Nasi, the author of the Mishnayot. He was the greatest in his generation. He received ordination in Eretz Yisrael itself. So he established the calculations and the calendar for the establishment of the new, of adding months. And so forth. Hu kidesh chodashim. He sanctified the new months. Meaning he sanctified when the months would begin, v'ber shanim, and he established when additional months to be added, ha'atidim, even for the future, lavo ad she'evo Eliyahu, until the time of Eliyahu, and the time the Elijah the prophet will come heralding the coming of Mashiach. Va'al ze anu somchin hayom, and it is upon this that we rely, ze shamanu hu adat Rambam. Now everything we said up till now was according to the Shita, was according to the opinion of the Rambam Zal. So, the second key point I'd like to make is that the eternity of the Jews is seen in this mitzvah. that through the Hachamim there is a layer of adaptability in the Torah itself to allow for all possibilities of time and space, regardless of the conditions that we are in, within Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, with the Beit HaMikdash, unfortunately without. All is within the Torah itself. But there's no idea of modernizing the Torah. There's no idea of changing the Torah or changing the mitzvot or, God forbid, changing the Mesorah, the actual transferring from one chacham, from one sage to the next. Only that the Torah itself teaches how to deal with every era, how to deal with every situation. As such, just like time goes on, so does the Jew, despite all the best efforts we have seen in time to stamp him out. And this is through this tight relationship of the Jewish people with the sages and as a whole to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God. So we now look for a moment at the alternative way of understanding, meaning the alternative counting of the mitzvot, that is brought down by the Ramban. Yachshov Kiddush HaChodesh Mitzvah Achad. He understands that the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, of establishing the new month, this is one mitzvah. V'ibur Shanim Mitzvah Achad. And the adding of an additional month to the year, the leap year, that is a mitzvah in itself also. So meaning we have two separate mitzvot. So if you look in his book of commandments, there you will find the various reasons that he gives. The Sefer Chinuch chiefly follows through with the opinion of the Rambam, and in fact the ordering of the mitzvot themselves is that of the Rambam. So also we find that this is presented by other of the various sages who have established the 613 mitzvot, who have laid them down numerically. It should be noted that the Torah itself encompasses within it, in various different manners, an extensive amount of connection with every matter in our life. There is an established custom that there are 613 key mitzvot, and it's this set of key mitzvot that we are that each of the Chachamim are centering in on. It doesn't mean to say that just because one says that this and this is the mitzvah, this is not, that something has changed. They are all called midoraita, they're all called Torah mitzvot, regardless of the details as to how we go ahead and we count through the various commands that are laid out within the Torah itself. The pasuk that is used in order to point out these concepts, as we said before, that in order to determine the seasons, in order so they should come out and work out, that the holidays should be in their proper times, you shall observe my statute, meaning Pesach, in its time. V'chen shamoret chodesh haviv, and so you shall observe on the month of spring, meaning in the spring months. Kamo shekatavnu, as we've said. So meaning these psukim are looked at as being the basis for the second mitzvah, and the very pasuk, in the very beginning that we had laid out, the very first verse, HaChodesh HaSeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim, that this month shall be for you, the beginning of months, that becomes the basis for the establishment of the months, and then the establishment of the leap years is based on these psukim, based on these verses we just mentioned. Now, beginning Mishor Shem Mitzvah Zo, now we begin what we've actually already touched on before, which is the logical understandings that are in the underlying basis of the mitzvah itself. Kedei she'asu Yisrael mo'adei Hashem bizmanam, in order so that the Jewish people should celebrate their holidays in their proper times. Shehashem Yibarach tziva lasot Pesach bezman shetvua ba'aviv. Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he commanded, he wanted it that it should be in the time of the harvesting, in the time of Aviv, in the time of spring. Moshe Katuv, Shamor et Chodesh Aviv, Vasita Pesach. You shall observe the month that is spring, and you shall make the Pesach. You shall make the holiday of Pesach, the offering of Pesach, and so forth and so on. V'chag HaSukkot bizman Asif. And Chag HaSukkot falls then in the autumn. Kmo shekatuv v'chag Asif tkufat hashana. And the holiday of autumn in the seasons of the year, and so forth. V'ilulei ibor hashanim. If it was not then for the adding of a month to the year, yavoa moadim shelo bizmanim elu. So what will happen is that the months, meaning the lunar cycles, because there is a difference in time, as we'll describe momentarily, will actually cause a incongruence to exist between the lunar and the solar cycles. Lefish Yisrael mahashvim chodshehem umodehem imot shanat levana. Because the Jewish people, as we all understand, they established the months and the holidays based on the lunar calendar. Shehem, because they work out, they work out to be 354 days, 8 hours, and 876 halakim, 876 parts. Now, for knowledge, to understand what this is, a part is 3 1/3 second, which works out to be 1,080 per hour, or 18 per minute. So that works out to say that the difference is 354 days. I mean, the total lunar total lunar cycle for a year is 354 days, 8 hours, and 48 minutes and 40 seconds. V'hi chasera mishanat hama esrei yamim chaf aluf shaod reish dal halakim siman yud chaf aluf reish dal. Okay, so what works out that there is a difference between the solar calendar and the lunar calendar of 10 days, 21 hours, and 204 parts. It's interesting to note, by the way, that the Rambam and his calculations to be able to establish exactly when the new moon would be seen, which of course he received from his teachers going all the way back to Moses, it's interesting that those actual calculations were used in any hand calculations that NASA was using during the early days of missions to the moon. It would take too long to be able to make calculations sometimes through the computers, and these calculations that are established by the Jews are so accurate, although, again, not as accurate as can be established through a computer, but accurate enough for far more than the expanse of the 6,000 years that time will exist, that in fact NASA even used them as part of emergency calculations in order to make determinations. Uvishel hatfuot vahapirot bekocha shel chama nimsa shiulei haibur shanoshavim bo shenot halavana b'shenot hachama lo yevo pesa b'zman aviv v'azuko b'zman asif. So what will end up happening is the various harvesting times and the various times when fruits become ripe, meaning that the actual time of spring itself in relationship to the year will be in incongruence, and Pesach will not come out in its proper time, and Sukkot not in its proper time. So this is again. So now, third point I want to make: we have an effect on the world as a whole, and as such a responsibility to it. Meaning that the Jewish people, being the ones that established the calendar itself, have a very central and important part in the actual workings of the entire world itself, and therefore have a responsibility to it. They have a responsibility to be the light unto the nations by holding strong on to the Torah and fulfilling its mitzvot. That is their responsibility to the entire world. Each and every single Jew individually has a responsibility that cannot be fulfilled through any other person. If you don't do your job, nobody else can do it for you. If you do not fulfill your quota, so to speak, that is based on your soul and who you are and your potentials, it becomes lost. The Jewish people and their connection to the seasons and the connection to the workings of the world, they affect the very production of the elements of life. Food and water and its supplies to the world are in your hands. Not just you, the individual, but you in your part of the world have an effect, have responsibility. And you see, this was established that the great Chachamim, the great sages, are the ones to do this. Gam yomru, because also they have said, ki mimenu yivada mikra shana v'tvuot, that through the establishments of the months themselves, it becomes known as to what will happen with the production of food in the world. Ve'en ro'oy lemosro el gdolim v'chassadim. It's only proper to pass this over to the gdolim and the pious, to the great ones and the pious ones. Dinei ha-mitzvah, as we know, the next step that the chinuch takes is to give us a listing or a connection to the various laws that apply. Kegon chakiret ed chodesh. For example, the examining of the witnesses. The witnesses come. There is a procedure that takes place in the court. V'iyum ha'edim v'amim, and the various warnings that are given. V'din chilul Shabbat ve'edu zuketzar, when to break Shabbat as a result or for the purpose of bearing this witness. It's actually under certain circumstances. It is permissible to actually break Shabbat in order to go to Yerushalayim and stand in the court and to give your witness as to what you've seen. And when to add a month and when not to. Which month, in fact, is the month that we add an extra month? It is Adar. You shall observe this statute, meaning Pesach, in its time. Milamed, this tells us, she'en ma'avrin et hashana ele b'perek hasamuch l'moed, meaning that when do you add a month to the year? Only in the time that is right next to when the holiday comes out. V'odar shuzal v'pasuk ze min ze pasuk ze minayin she'en ma'avrin et chodesh ele v'yom tamalomar miyamim yamima. So where do we learn that you do not, meaning that only during the day the additional month is added, meaning the proclamation in the courts and so forth, from where it says, following this, from the language of yom, meaning that it's, in other words, it shall always be done from day to day and so forth, but the idea is, the day, the concept there is day, so that's learned out from that same pasuk. V'odashuzal l'chodshe hashana, as we says in Megillah, it says, for the months of the year, chodashim atam hachashev l'shana ve'e atam hachashev yamim, meaning you establish months, meaning you don't establish days, meaning days are not the means by extending the year, it's done through months. Vod amru b'inyan ze, and also it's further said in Gemara Megillah, chodesh yamim, that it says further that the end, that a month of days, yamim atam hachashev l'chodesh ve'e atam hachashev sha'ot, meaning that it is established, meaning by days, meaning and not by moments, not by, in other words, you don't have half days of Rosh Chodesh and so forth and so on. It's interesting that Gemara Megillah find the source of this drasha, meaning that explaining these psukim, the two holidays that are eternal in the Jewish history is Hanukkah and Purim. Meaning it says that when even Mashiach comes, that while there will be changes in the other established holidays, there will not be a change in Hanukkah and Purim. Either Hanukkah and Purim will persist forever. Purim, taking place in Adar, is the month that is connected to when we actually add these leap years. Hanukkah, it's the time when the Greeks actually look to fight this very practice. Meaning that Hanukkah itself is of course about the establishment and the conquering of what God says is right over what man thinks is right. And Hanukkah itself, meaning in this fight, the Greeks actually looked and saw and understood the power by which Rosh Chodesh, the fact that you're saying to me that the Jewish people connecting with God are extending beyond the realm of man, and that man is not everything, that God is everything, and that God has this control, but that He has given and lent to the Jewish people this ability to make such a proclamation, flies in the face of the entire concept of the Greeks of man being everything. So being that's the case, this is in fact what they went and they had hit against.
There are further details found in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, or Perachal Shel Sanhedrin. You find the first parak of Sanhedrin, or Brachot Kamoken, and so forth. The Brachot. Now the Rambam discusses this, Mehilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, in a section on establishing the new month. But Noheget, this is now the last section of the mitzvah, is when this is, when is this custom to take place. So now, when you have chachamim that are ordained and the various other details that we've discussed before, that in all places and at all times, when you have such chachamim, when you have such sages, then this mitzvah takes place, meaning the mitzvah of doing the actual establishment. Of course, as we've already said, this has already been done by a chacham, maybe by Rav Hillel, the son of Rav Yehuda Nassim. Now, if God forbid, there should be such a chacham who is of this stature and he does not make use of his abilities, he in fact is considered to have violated a positive commandment, and his punishment is great. Shugorim kiyukol ha'mo'adot, because he causes a distortion in the holidays and when they're observed. And now, unfortunately, because of our sins, we are unable to be able to establish the additional leap years and so forth by way of this Mukhim and the month and what have you. Anu somchim b'cheshbonenu, we rely on our calculations. Hamukubal merbi Hillel kamoshemanu, that were set out by Rabbi Hillel, as we have said. But God willing, we shall see Mashiach kihenu b'mera b'yamenu. We shall see the righteous Mashiach bringing us quickly and speedily back into the world of the sages and the Sanhedrin, establishing the new months and the leap years. Amen.